Sports on a Saturday morning on WRMJ, WRMJ.com, and streaming worldwide on the WRMJ app. In studio with us now is Tanner Matlick. The Golden Eagles, they make the trip last night down to Cuba, Illinois. Let's all say it together. Lewistown Valley in Cuba, home of the Miners. Eagles take care of business, win it 47-0. A recap. Tanner Matlick, what'd you think last night?
Yeah, I thought it was good. We kind of knew what to expect rolling into the game, and I told the kids that even though this team was 0-2 going in there, we still had to, you know, try to dominate the game from the first snap, prepare like it was a playoff game, prepare like it was a big game for us, and it was. I mean, moving to 2-1 on the season, big win for us on the road, building a little confidence in our running game, and yeah, I thought all the kids did a really good job on both sides of the ball and special teams.
Yeah, and it's no disrespect to the opponent you're playing, but I know you know probably early in the game, hey, we should take care of business in this game. So that means how do we assess things moving forward, and what are the key takeaways from a game like this? Now, Rockridge had a similar situation last night where they scored on every offensive possession. And I think I said to Coach Graves, you know, so I would assume then kind of takeaways is you get your PAT unit out there and you get to see, hey, we need to score sevens in the postseasons or eights in the postseasons instead of sixes. And then you get your kickoff coverage team out there to cover kicks because that's probably going to be an issue where it's like a live practice. I mean, is it things like that you look at in those type of games?
Yeah, it was you hit the nail on the head, Jim. Special teams is always important, especially when you get deep in the season. So last night, there was a few instances where we could have worked on going for two, but the way we've kicked PATs early in the season, I wanted to make sure we kept trotting that team out there and getting them a little bit more live in-game reps. I think that team did a pretty good job for us. We missed a couple early, and then I think we made every PAT after that, so hats off to that group. And then kickoff coverage team was good all night. I think on the offensive side of the ball, we didn't get to some of the stuff that we wanted to work on this week. My plan going in was to throw the ball a little bit early. Unfortunately, Tannen Whitehall ran the ball like a maniac, so it seemed like every touch he had, he was ripping, you know, 20, 30-yard runs at a time. So it was good to get him going, build some confidence in that kid as a sophomore, and then looking forward to this matchup with Farmington in week four.
Yeah, and looking ahead to the game with Farmington, I think, you know, Farmington, one of the teams, when you look at the side of the conference you are coming in, that, you know, probably one of the teams that people circle and say, okay, they'll probably finish in the top, you know, two or three. So a big game for you right away. Second, I guess, technically conference game of the season. So how important does this one feel with Farmington on Friday night?
Yeah, this is a big one for us coming back home. Been on two long road trips here the last couple weeks to St. Bede and then down to Cuba last night. So looking forward to being back on George Pratt. And I told the kids last night after the game, you know, we redeemed ourselves in the last two road games, but it's time to redeem ourselves at home as well. Farmington's going to bring it on both sides of the ball and special teams, so we have to be ready to play, practice with intensity, flying around, have energy this week, and again, prepare like it's another playoff game, because at the end of the day, this is Farmington's a playoff team, so we have to bring the juice this week and get ready to roll.
I'm curious, what do you do right after a game? Like, are you interested in finding out scores or stuff like that?
Yeah.
What do you do? What are you looking for? Yeah, basically, the stuff on the next week's opponent, or just general like, who, you know, how did this team fare against this team? Or, I mean, tell me what you look for.
Yeah, a lot of the bus rides home and at post-game stuff, it just starts with, like, scoreboard watching on the IHSA app, stuff like that, trying to see who won, who lost, who we've played, how they've done. I was really anxious to see the United score last week or this past Friday and see how they did against Rova, so that was one of the first scores I checked. Then obviously checking in on the Farmington-Tuscola game. So a lot of scoreboard watching on the drive home and then gathering of film as well. And then kick this morning off with watching a lot of the Farmington film against Illini West and then against Tuscola last night. So, yeah, a lot of the post-game stuff is scoreboard watching and trying to gather information.
I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old, but I this year I don't think I figured anything out here through the first 3 weeks with the kind of the scores I've seen. You know, are you getting a read on anything yet?
Yeah, it's been a little strange, just some of the scores that we've seen the past couple weeks. It seems like there's, I wouldn't say inconsistency, but it's hard to get a finger on the pulse of who's really, really good and who's kind of middle of the pack and who's not so good. There's some obvious teams at the top and at the bottom, and then there's a lot of teams right in the middle there where their scores kind of fluctuate week to week. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the season plays out and what we get to look at moving forward.
So what sticks out to you about Farmington so far? I know kind of in the early stages, but preparing for them, what are some things that they do well that you're kind of worried about?
The biggest thing for them is their offense was very, very explosive against Tuscola last night. I think we've seen this morning there was multiple touchdowns of over 50 yards. They were able to flip the field with their special teams units, get some short fields to work with. So just got to eliminate the explosive plays from their offense. And then if you can get a couple good plays over the top on that defensive look, they give a lot of teams that man-to-man on everybody, bring the house. They'll eventually back off into kind of a shell of a quarters look, cover three, cover two, stuff like that. So we have to be aggressive with our play calling in the beginning of the game, try to get them toned back from bringing the house every single time, and then have to shut them down defensively as well, shut down their explosive offense. So.
And I know obviously, you know, week one was a disappointing result, but bouncing back with wins in week two and week three to get to 2-1, a third of the way through the season already, how do you feel, you know, where you're at through 3 weeks now looking ahead to week four?
Yeah, we feel obviously that week one was tough. We feel like we have a resilient group able to bounce back after that loss and rip off two straight wins, two pretty good wins, play well on in every aspect of the game. But we have to leave those three games in the past, and we have a tough three-game schedule here coming up with Farmington, Knoxville, and then I believe Elmwood Brimfield. So, our schedule doesn't get any easier. We've played great for the past two games, but we still have to focus on what's in front of us.
So a third, he mentioned a third of the way through the season so far. Are you're pretty healthy now, injury-wise? Or
yeah, we have a couple guys dinged up, a couple concussions, and then Will Fredrickson, who's arguably one of our top receivers, he broke his hand against St. Bede. So he's in a cast right now, gets reevaluated on Tuesday. I'm hoping that he goes into a splint so we can use him on the offensive side of the ball. Last night he only played defense for us with him being clubbed up and not able to catch the ball really well. So we'll see how that plays out this week. If we have to go without him on offense, it's the next guy up mentality with Dakota Coppola replacing him at our Z receiver. But for the most part, yeah, we're pretty healthy. Offensive line is really coming together. They played well the last couple of weeks and voided. We got Peyton Coppola back at center, so that's really helped the last 2 weeks. And yeah, for the most part, really healthy.
And then games like last night, you get to see maybe a lot of kids get some varsity reps that they don't maybe get a chance to get on the field. You got to do that, I'm assuming, last night with some kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got – I'm pretty sure we got everybody that was eligible to play into the game last night. And that's always exciting for those kids. And I told the kids at halftime, because by half our first string was done playing, and I told our first string, it's like, look, you got to support these guys. Pay attention on the sideline. Cheer them on. These are the dudes that give you guys really consistent scout team looks during the week. They bust their tails just like you do in practice, so we need to show support for these twos and threes going into the game. And hats off to the second and third string kids that went in last night. We were trying to pitch a shutout. There was a couple times where LVC was driving the length of the field on those second and third groups, and you could tell it meant something to those groups that we kept them out of the end zone. So they showed a little fight, a little grit. So I was happy to see that, and a lot of effort out of those kids as well. So it was good to get them on the field.
And then I always think about front, and this is maybe like advanced master's coaching course here, but I always think about the ebb and flow of a season, and then the contrast of preparation weeks where you play an opponent that's struggling, has some challenges with numbers, and they've got routed numerous games. You play them, and then the next week you play a much better opponent. So, you know, in terms of preparation and kind of getting ready, and you wonder, is this game we're playing this week, how much is it going to help us or hurt us going into next week? Just because of the contrast of strength of the opponent you're playing. So what about that from this week to next week, where you know you're going to play a much different and much, you know, no disrespect to LVC, but a much better opponent you're going to play Friday?
Yeah, and I think that's just the nature of the beast, Jim. That will happen in the course of a season. You'll have some teams like that maybe aren't as good, and then you'll face a squad that's probably the top two or three team in the conference. At the end of the day, that's just how it goes. And like I said, we prepared last week like it was a playoff game. We practiced with the same intensity we had going into the St. Bede game. So nothing will really change for us this week as far as practice intensity. I'm hoping to crank it up, you know, another notch, just the kids' mentality going into this week. Be crisp, be sharp in practice, and then go out and let it rip on Friday night against Farmington.
Do you like the current mercy rule, that continuous clock in the second half, or do you wish it wasn't, or do you wish there's a drop dead kind of rule? I know I've heard talk of that before. If you're up by so much that, hey, the game's just over, what is the purpose being served here?
Yeah, I'm okay with that rule. I mean, it gets where if you're up by 40 in a football game, it's kind of the point where the game's almost over anyways. The game's probably
the second half especially.
Yeah, so the running clock, yeah, I have really no opinion on that. I think it's probably something that moves the game along, probably prevents, you know, chippiness, injuries, stuff like that, gets the kids off the field, off their feet, in a game that's out of hand at that point anyway. So,
if you haven't been to a game for a while, Friday night will be a good one with Farmington in town. They're off to a 3-0 start. They'll probably get some, I would think, some votes in the poll maybe.
They did last week.
Did they? Yeah. So always a quality opponent. And you know Ty Taylor, his biggest receiving game, you know what opponent that came against?
Was it Farmington?
It was Farmington. Take that, fighting Farmers. And I don't know if Toby Vallis was the coach
back then or not. He was
a
good sense still.
Good coach, man.
My boy, Ty.
Yeah. All right, that'll be bulletin board material for them probably heading down here. All right, Coach, have a good week of practice. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Eagles win it 47-0 on the road last night at LVC, the Miners. More coming up on WRMJ.
Looking for a new pair of kicks? Maybe it's time to ditch that worn-out tongue and flattened sole and check out the latest styles and colors of Hey Dude shoes at 6140 Run. Known as high-performance footwear, they prioritize both quality and fashion with designs for men, women, and youth. Stop in at 6140 Run to check out the expansive selection of Hey Dude shoes in stock now. They remind you not to be fooled by online sites selling Hey Dudes. Make sure your pair are authentic at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. 61-14 is the final. Friday night, Rockets take care of business, win at home over Riverdale. Scored on all seven offensive possessions in the first half, and then basically the reserves played in the second half, and they scored on their two offensive possessions. So you basically did everything pretty much right on the offensive side of the ball tonight.
Yeah, that was our speech to guys. No offense, I don't want this to sound wrong, but our message was come out and beat someone you're supposed to beat and don't let them have a chance. Don't feel like they have a breath in the game. And I think we did that pretty good job. You know, I think we had a pretty decent run defense plan, and it did decent. Again, this is great game experience for some young guys in the secondary that maybe gave up a couple things, but overall, you know, it was a good team effort. Like you said, offense being able to roll down the field was a big plus for us.
All right, and the other thing when I look at games like this tonight, when you try to measure, well, what can we really take away from this thing other than a win? And I think one of the important things in these type of situations is, well, the special teams opportunities where it's a live game, and I think you get in the first half seven PAT chances, which those are important if you think about playing in weeks 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then also I think kickoff coverage is important in live games where you get that group out there to say, hey, let's make sure we're shoring up that part of the game, because normally it's those type of plays when you play in the postseason that proved to be the difference.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We had a big talk with the guys, and kickoff and PAT, like you said, those are huge. And we've been lucky enough to have a kid like Austin Vandegeest around that's been, I mean, he's basically 100%. And I don't want to jinx him or anything, but he is. But kickoff is a big thing. We talked to the guys earlier this year that special teams are something you have to take serious, that it on every one of the three scores, we lost to Moreau Forsyth in the quarterfinals 21-7, and all three of their touchdowns were off of big special teams plays. We had a shanked punt, and in the first game, and they got the ball at the 20-something and scored. They had a big return coming out of half, like a 50-yard return that got them a score, and then they had a fake punt that got them their third score. And we told them that those against good teams, you lose games if you don't capitalize on special teams. If you make errands in special teams, it bites you. So like you said, this is a great night for that. Kickoff's a big deal. When you have a kicker that can get it that deep, not quite in the end zone, but that deep that teams can set up returns, you got it. Yes, you can get good field position out of that, if we can stop them and then stop them defensively. But at the same time, you got to cover it, because that's also, if you're a good return team, getting a kick at the 5 or 10 yard line also lets you set up a great kick return. So it is a big deal for us to be able to get kickoff down. Like you said, those are great reps those guys are seeing.
And then as far as the rhythm is concerned with the PATs, it's Freyer to Mueller to Vandegeest, right? I mean, are you noticing that they're real, that rhythm is pretty good?
Yeah, it is. Freyer does a nice job. He's pretty consistent. There was actually Reed's playing with a cast right now, and we were literally in practice. We're trying to find somebody. We're like, surely the kid with the cast can't be our holder, but he is so consistent. Even tonight there was a wide snap, and he snagged that with his one offhand and put it down, and we got the PAT off, and it was good. So Reed's a good, consistent kid with his hands, and he's a great holder. And like we already talked about, Austin, it's something we kind of probably take for advantage because he's been around for 4 years, and that's when he graduates. That's going to be a big deal for us losing him.
All right. And then defensively tonight, you talked about it in the pregame where they just basically line up and play power and scrum and through the tackles. Now you stop it, but I always tell people that type of offense, you know, with those many bodies in the pile, you always wonder, well, hopefully we escape with nobody getting hurt. And sometimes it's tough to do that. So you got out of here tonight, too, with that, because that's an issue when it's just 20.